the All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now.
Massive inferno destroys Safeway.
Man, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. I think it was 35th Avenue and Northern. We were telling you about this last night on KTAR. I mean, an entire Safeway store gone. Here are some witnesses.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing short of an inferno.
But you could see it just carry through the whole store as it caught flame and engulfed the whole building. It's crazy.
Mac, I can't believe there wasn't one single injury or fatality.
I can't either.
I got home late last night and was watching the firefighters try. I think they were all there. And you know what I mean? From everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
They had trucks from everywhere. When I say
not
all the firefighters,
Phoenix.
Every firefighter, right? And they're trying to put this out, and I'm thinking, somebody had to be trapped. Somebody had to die, and no one did.
No one did.
Absolutely a miracle.
And the amazing thing is that this was maybe have started by a microburst that hit the actual, I guess, roof of the Safeway.
They were hitting the fire and evacuating the store. At that time, more of the roof gave way on firefighters, actually came down on top of them. That first engine crew had to retreat their line, follow the line back out of the store. The other crew went into the store to make sure everybody was safely out. We checked everybody to make sure they were out.
The firefighters were incredible. Those who were running in, those who were trying to put it out with the hoses, no deaths.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Four.
Arizona legislator brags about doing 120.
Yeah, 120 miles an hour on Arizona highways. Paul Mosley, out of Arizona's 5th District, has been caught on audio tape and video bragging to a sheriff's deputy that he drives at speeds up to 140 miles per hour, claiming legislative immunity. Now, this is from March 27th, according to public records. Mosley was pulled over at by a La Paz County sheriff's deputy north of Parker, Arizona, allegedly doing 97.
Right. So, you know, these legislators can go as fast as they want. And when they get pulled over by a police officer, they can't get a ticket. I mean, I knew this, and I was surprised years ago when I learned it. Here's a little bit of the audio. Arizona State Representative Paul Mosley getting pulled over by the cops.
You were driving 130 earlier, you said?
Yeah, I go 130, 140, 120. Yeah, I'm coming out, I was going 120 almost. You know, there was no traffic.
Now, you can hear the wind in the background. That's because he's still going 160.
Right. The cop has to barely catch up to him.
Cop pulled up next to him, and they chatted.
Yeah. It's one thing for people to understand that's the perk of the office or perk of the job.
Yeah.
But why are you telling the cop, oh, yeah, I go 140, 150? That makes no sense.
Guy's bragging that he's above the law.
Yeah, basically,
I hate that. I can't stand that in lawmakers.
The number three story on the All Arizona Daily Download. The fight to fund education gets nasty.
All right, we talked about this earlier. Invest in education, the ballot effort. People are signing and wanting to have basically what's a tax raise on the 1%.
And it's an income tax measure, correct?
Yeah, for the 1% to pay more in taxes that would fund education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now people are saying, I don't want it, and the people that are involved are socialists, and the name-calling has begun.
Well, I think the name-calling certainly has begun, and, you know, one of the guys that started Red for Ed, Noah Carvalhas, he's a music teacher, so, and he, you know, obviously was running most of the Red for Ed stuff, and now he is, invest in Ed. He wants the income tax measure. I mean, I think this guy's got to figure out, are you a politician or a teacher?
Yeah, are you an activist?
Yeah.
Or are you a community organizer?
Because if you want to be an activist,
or a teacher,
great. But I don't know necessarily, you know, are you bringing this into the classroom? Because then that gives teachers a bad name. Teachers don't want politics in the classroom. I hope he's not bringing politics into the classroom.
We see that a lot in colleges.
We do.
And that you know, really turns off some parents or turns off students.
In Becky Lynn's newscast, we heard from Governor Doug Ducey. He's certainly against this. I'm against it, too. And I am absolutely for teachers. But you could hurt the economy by raising the income tax of the 1%.
Two.
Geezer tries to play through on the I-10.
This is unbelievable.
I love when she says geezer.
Roadside,
this is a funny word, isn't it?
Yeah. Roadside cameras from ADOT captured the golf cart puttering along Interstate 10. 10 Wednesday morning.
At least he was going the right way.
He is 83 years old.
Is he in the fast lane or what?
His blinker's on in the left-hand lane.
They don't have a blinker. Do golf carts have blinkers?
They could.
So let me get this straight. He's in the middle of the highway.
He's in the middle lane of the I-10.
The middle lane of the... There's like a semi on one side, mm-hmm. trucks, cars on the other. He's in a golf cart. Can you drive a golf cart on the...
Well, I know that there are golf carts that, you know, basically out in Sun City that they have, I mean, bigger tires. They look more road
They have their own
worthy.
Lane. They have their own lane.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know if this was just a regular golf cart or whether it was a souped-up golf cart, but still, he's on the I-10.
He's puttering down the highway.
Well, that's what old people do.
The middle of the I-10.
You sure it wasn't one of those lawnmowers we talked about that goes 150?
No.
And once again, lucky this man was not killed or injured.
911 calls. People are saying there's an old guy behind the wheel. I just wonder if he's right in his mind.
I don't know.
Who does this on purpose?
How do you get from a golf course to an I-10? What exit?
One.
Build-A-Bear. Since Valley Mall's into chaos.
This Build-A-Bear thing, have you guys heard about this?
Build-A-Bear? Yes. Pay your age.
Yes. Build-A-Bear has this, I don't know if it's a stunt. It's certainly.
Was it a promotion or a
promotion,
sale?
Promotion. Pay your age.
Okay.
So Build-A-Bear is obviously when you go, you take your kid to the Build-A-Bear place and you actually build a teddy bear. You know, you start from scratch and you build the whole thing, right? So Build-A-Bear says, hey, come by, pay your age. So if you want to bring your two-year-old, it costs you $2.
Okay.
So everybody's in on a deal, right? Everybody wants a great deal.
What about that geezer on the golf cart? Did he have to pay $83 because he's 83 years old?
No. I think the most you could pay is $29.
Oh, that's not bad.
But here's the thing. Thousands of customers lined up at Scottsdale Fashion Square.
It was like a boy band was coming to town, and they were giving away tickets.
Santan Village in Gilbert had a line that wrapped around the entire shopping center with people waiting 2 hours.
So basically, they had to give vouchers to these parents, because obviously it's going to get hotter during the day, and they can't have them outside. They had to give vouchers. Do you close it down? Do you shut it down?
They had to shut some of it down around the valley. It got so
big.
I mean, you know, build a teddy bear, bring your kid, pay their age. Here's $5. You got a whole day.
Build-A-Bear, the retailer said the local authorities required us to limit the lines and crowds due to safety concerns.
Amazing.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. No mask, no hose, no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today.
A 75-year-old disabled Mesa woman is in the hospital recovering after a large tree fell through her roof and stabbed her in the leg.
Yeesh.
Her house was destroyed in Monday's monsoon storm. We're going to tell you how you can help this family next. We're going to have a family member on. Their house is completely destroyed. That's in a second.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
We've been talking about the monsoon weather. Today's Thursday. The last 3 days, we've definitely seen some weather. But Monday was the day.
Monday was a big storm.
Monday was a huge storm. Hit the entire valley. And one story that we've been following is out of Mesa. And it's a really terrible story. It shows you how devastating the monsoon could be. A 75-year-old disabled Mesa woman is in the hospital. She had a large tree fall completely through her roof, stab her in the leg, and when you look at the picture of her house, there's a massive tree on it.
It's amazing people survived. Tree crushed the house.
And I'm not sure this family's going to be able to rebuild. Maybe we can help them a little bit. But joining us now is one of the women that were actually in the house when the tree fell on top of it. Tamika is the granddaughter of the 75-year-old disabled Mesa woman. And Tamika joins us now on KTAR. Hey, Tamika, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
First of all, how's your grandmother doing in the hospital?
She's doing well.
What happened to her? She was in her bed, and what happened?
She was in her bed when the tree came crashing down, and one of the branches actually impaled her leg. It stabbed her. It didn't go all the way through, but it did go about an inch and a half deep into her right thigh.
Wow.
And so she has some cuts and bruises, on her back and forearms. Mm. But the injury to the leg was the most traumatic.
So, Tamika, when you were in the house, and how many other people were in the house?
Myself, my brother, and my uncle.
Okay.
Well as my grandmother.
Okay, so four people in the house, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that monsoon hits. Take us through the story. What time did you start seeing the rain? Take us through what you were thinking while you were in the house and you realized, oh my goodness, there's a tree on top of it. Take us through that.
It was really scary, actually. There was a gust of wind, a very strong gust of wind that blew the door open. I went to close the door back, and I went to sit down on the couch, and I was just thinking that was a very strong gust of wind. This is going to be a bad storm. And no sooner than completing the thought, the house shook, and the tree came crashing through the roof. Myself and my brother ran to the bedroom where my grandmother was located in her room, and we saw that the tree had come down and that it was stabbing her in the leg.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Talk to us about the aftermath, because, you know, how did you get out of the house? Who did you call? Did you call 911? Did the neighbors run over?
The neighbors came. We did call 911. An ambulance showed up, and immediately after that, fire trucks from Mesa, from Tempe, from Gilbert, from Chandler, even Phoenix, they all showed up. We were asked to exit the house because the roof could have caved in at any moment, and they didn't need any extra casualties. Mm-hmm. So anybody that was able to leave on their own accord was asked to leave. They sawed the branch that was holding my grandmother to the bed. They sawed it off, and then they were able to get my grandmother removed and into an ambulance and onto the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Did they remove the branch there, or did they have to remove that branch that was impaled in your grandmother's leg at the hospital?
Yeah, did she
no,
go to
they
the...
removed it at the house.
Oh, because I was wondering, did she go to the hospital with part of the tree limb in her limb?
That's what I thought.
No.
Hmm. Has your grandmother suffered, I think she was she suffered a stroke maybe in 2009. Is that the case?
Yes, she had a stroke in 2009, and it left her paralyzed on her right side.
And you guys are in the house taking care of her. You got at least four people caring for her, right?
Yes, we're all caregivers for her. Mm.
Tamika is the granddaughter of the 75-year-old disabled Mesa woman who is still recovering in the hospital from injuries when a large tree fell through her roof, stabbing her in the leg. I look at those pictures, and I'm like, how everybody survived is just miraculous. And
yes,
I'm glad.
It was a miracle.
And I'm glad. What I'm concerned about is when Grandma gets out, where's she going to go? What's going to happen to the house? Can you guys rebuild? Do you have insurance? Is it livable?
At the moment, it is not livable. We've had a city inspector come out today. It is not livable. I'm actually not sure if we're going to be able to rebuild or if the house is going to have to be torn down. But so at the moment, we really don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Okay, let's put this into perspective. You got a 75-year-old woman who suffered a stroke in 2009. She's been retired for a number of years. I'm sure that she gets some kind of check or some kind of monthly money coming in. But let's be real. You guys don't have the money lying around to rebuild this house, right?
Definitely not.
Okay, so why don't we try to help then? They've got a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
Go to our Facebook fan page. It's real simple, facebook.com/MacandGatos, and we'll provide the link to the GoFundMe page to hopefully get this grandma and these people the enough funds to either rebuild this house or get a new house.
That would be wonderful. That would be awesome.
All right, so we're going to do that. We're going to do that for you. All right, Tamika is joining us. She's the granddaughter of a woman we talked about. She's 75 years old, disabled Mesa woman. Tamika is the granddaughter. Do you want to say something to our listeners who are, you know, listening right now?
Yeah, tell us about your grandma. Tell us about the finances. Tell us more about this story.
My grandmother is 75 years old. She's a Mesa native. She's retired from Maricopa County Head Start. She was a teacher for 30 years.
Wow.
She is an outstanding woman. She's very vibrant, very loving, very caring. Even though she's had a stroke, she can definitely make you laugh. She is a very fun person to be around, completely full of life. She has 9 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
All of us are pretty much caregivers to her in the house. You're right about the finances. We don't have the money laying around to fix or rebuild or renovate the house now that it's been destroyed. We are definitely reaching out to the public in any way that we can. We have the GoFundMe page, and we're just asking that the public do any and everything that they can. If you see it on Facebook, please share it. Please have your friends share it so that we can at least attempt to get the money together to do what we need to do with the house.
Tamika is the granddaughter of a 75-year-old disabled woman in Mesa who's recovering in the hospital after a large tree fell right through their roof, stabbed this woman in the leg. And Tamika has been nice enough, the granddaughter of the 75-year-old woman, to come on. Tamika, best of luck. Stay in touch. Let us know how your grandmother's doing, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome. That's what happens sometimes when the monsoon hits. I mean, it does destroy houses. Here's the thing. There just seems to be so much hate in the world. And all the news seems to be bad. And everybody seems to be up in arms about something. Why don't we do something good today? Why don't we do something positive today? Let's help her. Go to our Facebook fan page. Take a look. Take a look at the pictures. Becky Lynn, take a look at these pictures too. Because, you know, and I know that Lloyd's looking at them in the other room. We just got these. They're unbelievable. And you may have this family may be homeless. I don't know. There's no way they're going to rebuild this house, Mac.
And there's no way they have money right now. Because, again, if you lose your home, and I knew somebody that lost their home, the insurance company gives you a bunch of money because they lost everything.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like a toothbrush, a change of clothes, that kind of thing. They don't have that kind of money to go out and start over.
Yeah.
So if even if they get a break and if they have insurance and they can get, you know, back on their feet, it's still going to be a number of months. They need money now, and that's why they put up the GoFundMe.
Right. So let's lead on this issue. Let's do something. Go to our Facebook fan page. You can go to our Twitter page too. We have that up as well. But you know, I don't want to see this family out on the street. You got a 75-year-old disabled woman.
Yeah, she's had a stroke.
People taking care of her.
Right.
And if you just look at the pictures, maybe you can give a few dollars.
Absolutely.
Maybe I've always said this. If we're doing a show, Mac, in the afternoon, we've done it for almost 10 years. If we're not doing stuff like this, we're not doing our job in the community. So let's do something today. We got 4 hours here. Let's see if we can help, you know, a family that's down in their luck. Facebook fan page, Mac and Gatos. Just go check it out. Go check our Twitter. We never tell you to go check Facebook or Twitter almost. I mean, we really don't. You can go do it if you want, but we never, you know, almost put it on the air. Go and check it out. Let's help this woman. Tamika was terrific.
Yeah.
Boy, what a tough, tough thing to have happen.
I mean, that's just something where you can't predict it. You
no.
don't see it you know, whoever thought that, you know, on a Monday afternoon during monsoon season, your house is demolished.
There's a tree.
You know, those trees uprooting like that and falling, that could happen to any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that does happen. I've seen it in other places where, you know, they'll just be uprooted. So you could be in that situation next.
True. All right. Let's try and figure something out, right? Coming up next. How about this story? Let's discuss this. Does the Secret Service actually have the solution to stopping school shootings? This is interesting. Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A lot of people asking, how do you stop school shootings? Well, the Secret Service has, for more than 2 decades... Their agency's National Threat Assessment Center has studied incidents of serious school violence, including the only comprehensive program for interviewing every surviving student shooter.
I thought they protected the president.
Oh, they do a lot of things. They do counterfeiting. They do protecting the president.
I didn't think they did school shootings.
And National Threat Assessment Center interviews people who like to kill other people or feel it's necessary.
When everybody thinks of the Secret Service, they think protecting the president, but you're right, they do other stuff too.
So the Secret Service has come out with a guide for the nation's schools, and they basically say, you can help prevent gun violence, but we can't tell you what to look for.
They are by now frustratingly familiar, the missed signs that might have stopped a mass shooter at a school.
These people engage in behavior that elicits concern in others. The majority of them had experienced significant stresses leading up to their attacks.
And that, says Dr. Lena Alathari at the Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center, means there's an opportunity to intervene.
Friends, family, neighbors, teachers are noticing behavior that is concerning.
She urges schools to create a team of teachers, counselors, coaches, and officers to assess behavior and negative events that might trigger violence.
And what I mean was that they really don't have an answer as to who. They say there is no profile of a student attacker. There have been male, there have been female shooters, high-achieving, straight-A students, low-grade, failing grades. These acts of violence are committed by students who were loners and socially isolated, and those who were well-liked and very popular. So
they're casting a really big net.
Exactly.
And everyone's in the net. So how is this helpful? How is it helpful?
I don't know how it really is. And what they're doing is putting the onus back on the schools by saying, hey, start a committee, start some kind of talking about students, and maybe as a teacher or as other students – You not that you'd accuse anybody, but maybe be more aware of people who are acting, I guess, strangely.
I think basically what the Secret Service is saying is we have no idea who could shoot up a school.
Right.
It could be absolutely anyone.
It could be the kid going to Harvard on a full ride scholarship, or the kid who never talks to anybody and is very withdrawn.
So they say put together a threat assessment team within
right.
the school. And here's the thing. Teachers. It seems to me they're saying part of a teacher's job should be threat assessment. And if you are a teacher and you're sitting on this assessment team, are you going to go into one of these meetings that you have every week and say, well, Sally was upset because her parents got divorced and she's shown signs of blah, blah, blah.
Threatening behavior, maybe engaging in violence.
Or, you know, Ricky has, you know, this and he's had trouble and he got bullied the other day. And I don't know, man. I mean, can teachers really pick out and red flag everybody and say, oh, that's the kid who's going to do something? Maybe.
You do it.
Well, I don't know who else to do it.
Well, you do it in hindsight.
Yeah,
I knew that kid could fill in the blank.
Right.
But at the time, do you really think, unless something is written down or somebody has a notebook and says, hey, I saw this, I want to bring it to you, or what was that story a couple months ago? A kid knew of another kid going to bring a gun to school. He knew about the plan to kill people, and he went to the principal and said, hey, I know about this.
Yeah.
The Secret Service says students can help you, but tell them it's not snitching.
Well, then you got to put a student on the threat assessment team too.
Right. Right, I don't know. I mean, it sounds okay, but I don't know a teacher that wants the responsibility. I don't know coaches that would say, yeah, I'll head up this committee and the principal, and let's meet and let's talk about everybody's behavior. I'm kind of like you. I don't know why the Secret Service is putting this guide out. It doesn't seem to be very helpful.
No, the only thing they're saying is put together a threat assessment team. Because the Secret Service is saying we don't know who could shoot the school.
Right.
So the threat assessment team.
And look for warning signs.
Right. The threat assessment team, there would be teachers. I think there would be students. I think there would be parents. You'd have administrators there, right? You would have the school resource officer.
If they choose. That's the other part, too.
How do you put a student on this?
I don't. That's a great question. And why? And one student? Because one student. Let's say you go to a school that has over 1,000 kids. One student isn't going to know everybody.
Do you put if it's high school? Do you put the class presidents on? I mean, I'm being serious.
Right.
I don't know how you pick.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that I was the kid in high school that knew who everybody kind of sort of was.
Mm-hmm.
Class president couldn't care less who I was. Class president didn't know who I was.
And what if
I knew who everybody was. Maybe you go after that kid.
Well, and what if you have just an enormous number of people in grades? I mean,
you've got
thousands of kids in a school.
Maybe you get one from every grade or a couple from every grade.
You make the point. You may have known everybody, but what if there are 1,000 kids in a group? You don't know 1,000 kids in your own grade.
And I don't know how everybody's doing as far as, mentally or emotionally.
Right. You have no idea.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound, first of all, what we're doing right now isn't working. I mean, that's for sure. Whatever is happening right now, you know, we're going to talk about a school shooting probably next week. So I don't know. Maybe you do put a threat assessment team together. And you got to do something.
The guide actually cited the 2016 murder-suicide in the Peoria High School where the 15-year-old student shot her girlfriend. And they explained that, you know, students, that she carried out the attack because her girlfriend had recently confessed that she was contemplating ending the relationship. Students experience all kinds of stresses internally, externally. And what this guide is basically saying, hey, you adults, you've got to pay more attention. You've got to pay better attention.
It's true. How many times do these kids get their guns from their parents?
And the parents have gotten them legally.
Right,
and, you know.
Right. How many times have, and you know what's sad? There's been so many school shootings, I can't even give you a specific one. I know that's horrible. I can't even give you a specific
one. They kind of run together.
They all run together. It's all the same. They all have red flags and nobody does anything about it. But how about looking at your kid's social media? I mean, there was one school shooting. I mean, it was all over the kid's social media. The guy was crazy. He was going to go and kill a whole bunch of people. Parents didn't look. They didn't do their job. So they're not locking their guns up. They're not looking on their kid's social media. They're not parenting. See, if everybody waits for the government to do something, we're going to have a bunch of dead kids. And that's kind of what we have
right now.
Well,
that's what we have now, yeah.
Right. So if parents would do their job and maybe we could, you know.
Pay attention.
You know, we could start stopping this stuff.
Let's hope,
Start stop this stuff.
Let's hope.
So the Secret Service.
They put out this guide, but man, yeah. It leaves a lot of questions. There's a lot of holes in this guide.
All right. Still to come, we're going to talk about the massive inferno that destroyed the Phoenix Safeway. We now kind of know why the fire started. Plus, we've got gut check time on the way.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's gut check time with Mac and Gatos.
All right, Mac, I've got a story out of the news you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I need your gut check.
All right.
I'm going to give you two stories here. I'm going to ask you I'm going to ask you to pick the biggest dope out of the two, okay?
Wow, okay.
Right. Two similar stories. All right. A Florida man was pulled over.
Well, that's all you need right there. Florida, a lot of dopes
man
in Florida.
Told the officer who pulled him over, I'm not drinking and driving. I only took shots of bourbon when I stopped at a traffic light or a stop sign. But I wasn't drinking and driving.
This is the logic my 9-year-old uses.
Yes. So he would only drink when the car was stopped at a light or a stop sign.
But he's not drinking.
And driving. He's drinking while parked or while stopped. Okay. The other story is from Arizona. We've got a guy who was on the I-10 in a golf cart. In the middle of the I-10 in a golf cart. Semi to the right, cars, motorists passing. They called 911. The 83-year-old's wife had to come pick him up.
Okay. All right.
So he's in the middle of the road,
middle of the highway,
driving a golf cart on the I-10. So your gut check: who's the biggest dope out of the two, and why?
I give the 83-year-old a pass
because he's 83.
He's 83. He may not be in his right mind. I don't know. The guy who actually has the cojones to tell a cop, I'm not driving and drinking. I only do shots at light stops. That's a dope. He's a dope. There's no doubt about it.
Reports say he's never had a valid Florida driver's license.
Jeez.
The arrest affidavit says that the officer smelled the booze, and the guy said to the cop, I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I bet he is. Feeling no pain, huh?
I wasn't drinking while the car was moving.
See, again, that's the crap that my daughter comes up with. Well, you didn't tell me to make my bed this morning. We make your bed every morning. I shouldn't have to tell you.
I don't understand why anybody has to make the bed. You're going to get in it just an hour or two later. Why you put all the pillows on top of it? Why?
It's the reason why you wear clean underwear in case of an accident. In case you have to call 911 and you're injured yourself in your bedroom.
You want the house to look nice.
You want the house to look nice. There you go. Very Irish
Catholic
reason.
I bet you don't make your bed every day.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm a one percenter. I have somebody make it for me. Oh, yeah.
Mac and Gatos. Gut check.
Gatos, I, too, have two stories for you. That's why I reacted the way I did. I have two stories for you. Your gut check, which one is true?
Oh.
A scuba diver.
What's a scuba diver?
I don't know. A scuba diver actually found an iPhone lost at sea for 2 days after someone texted it and it lit up.
Under the water?
On the bottom of the sea. Or a woman trying to take photos during her vintage biplane flight loses her phone, uses the My iPhone app to track it down in someone's yard, and it works perfectly.
Which one is true?
Which one is true?
I am definitely going to go with the scuba diver and the iPhone under the sea. Somebody texted it, and it lit up. That's the one that's true.
The answer is they're both true.
They're both true.
They're both true.
Why are you lying to me then? You said one was true. Yeah, that's the whole, you screwed up the whole gut check.
Oh, sure, right.
Well, there.
You could have said, no, I think both are true.
Well, no, you said one of them is true, so I picked
the one I thought was true.
You
could have said yes.
Go back and listen to the tape.
Yeah. And but you could have chosen C instead of A or B.
So both are
okay,
true?
So a scuba diver was stunned to make an unexpected find at the bottom of the sea. An iPhone lit up when it received a text.
Awesome.
The scuba diver went down, and it still had 80% of its charge left, despite being dropped 2 days earlier.
Well, there's no roaming down there.
She returned it to her owner in Canada like 3 days later. Then the woman in the airplane, she took a vintage biplane ride.
What's a biplane?
Two wings. They're like used in World War I, really old planes.
I thought all planes had two wings.
No. On top of each other. Not just two wings outside, but on top of each other.
Got it.
All right. While on the flight, she got her iPhone out to shoot some photos. She held the phone outside the windshield, caught by the rushing wind, blown away. She then got her husband's phone when they landed, used the Track My Phone app, and found it. And darn if it wasn't perfectly working when she found it.
It wasn't broken?
It was not broken.
It's amazing. And that was an iPhone, too?
And that was an iPhone as well.
That's incredible.
Gut Check, brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Zero copays, zero appointments, zero hassles. The Joint Chiropractic. Relief on so many levels.
All right, coming up next. We now know what caused the massive inferno that destroyed a Phoenix Safeway grocery store. This thing was unbelievable. We're going to tell you what happened, how it happened, all next.